I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for three stories you should know. Our guests this week are both from Washington, D.C., but don't worry, the inauguration is not one of our three topics. Joining me are Cindy Boren of The Washington Post and Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports via Skype. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Great to be here, as always.
Cindy, I understand that your story is, in fact, set thousands of miles from Washington, D.C. Please begin.
All right. Well, let's talk about something that happened at the University of Oregon, where they have a state-of-the-art strength and training facility that costs something like $68 million. But evidently, the supervisory standards that are, you know, just a notch below your average daycare center. Three members of the football team were hospitalized last week for days after an intense boot camp-style workout. Now, you know, we all understand that spring football is approaching, believe it or not. And there's a new coach in town in Eugene. But during this workout, some players passed out. Others complained afterward that their urine was dark, which is a sign of a problem. And one of the linemen supposedly is suffering from rhabdomyolysis, which is a terrible condition in which your muscles can break down. You can experience blood clotting. It can even lead to kidney damage. The coach was suspended for a month. My question is that enough? Should the NCAA be looking into maybe establishing standards for strength and conditioning coaches? The NCAA and the University of Oregon need to use this as an excuse to take a good long look at their standards.
To me, this is a really clear example of why college athletes need more rights. They need more power. They need a union, potentially. They shouldn't be subjected to something like this. This doesn't happen in pro sports. The athletes can protect themselves. There are a lot more rules in terms of what you can and can't do in terms of workouts, whether it's in season, off season. The power isn't all on one side of the table. This is not new. This has happened before. The NCAA, if it's going to exist, this is the kind of thing they should be policing. Instead of all the time and money they spend, you know, trying to make sure nobody's getting cash under the table, putting the wrong topping on their bagel, maybe they should take all that time, effort, personnel, and put it towards making sure that athletes aren't being worked out, like, literally close to death.
Of course, it's alarming that this happened. Somehow even more alarming to me is that some of the players tweeted their support for the strength coach. I'm not surprised there are still coaches who overwork players in ways that turn out to be damaging. I am a little surprised in 2017 that the players aren't sort of more aware and more conscious of the rights that they do have, namely the right to protect themselves in this circumstance.
You know, I think that there is so much competition for these starting positions. There's a new coach. There's a desire to impress a new coach. Maybe some of the players were a little bit out of shape. You know, some these guys were offensive linemen and a tight end. I think two of the three weighed over 300 pounds. You also have to have an awareness and a consciousness that you have to handle 300 pounders differently. You know, you're talking about kids, teenagers, they're really not aware of their rights. And of course, you know, at the university level, all they have to do is assert their rights and the coach can say, well, you know, I'll find somebody else.
Yeah, and there goes your scholarship.
Yeah.
Right. Patrick, please take us to the fine state of Arizona.
Yeah, so I've got another college sports related story. This one's about an Arizona basketball player named Alonzo Trier. He's a very good player, hasn't played all season. Has been sort of laboring under a mysterious suspension. We found out this week what the suspension is all about. Essentially, he tested positive for a PED. And again, the details are a little sketchy, but essentially he was in a car accident in the offseason. Somebody gave him some sort of drug to help recover that is on the NCAA's ban list. You know, it showed up when they tested him. He took it totally unknowingly. And, you know, he presented his case to the NCAA, and they actually said, okay. But you still can't play until the level of this drug in your system goes below some sort of threshold that the NCAA has for it. So basically, this guy is, you know, going and taking urine tests every week or the other week and just waiting for this to clear. So to me, this kind of speaks something good about the NCAA, which is unlike what we've seen in some other sports, they are actually able to take an appeal, listen to it, and say, you know what? Yeah, we're going to believe you. We're not going to just hold you flat out responsible for everything in your body, period. But on the flip side, this idea of you have to get below this certain threshold, even though whatever it is not helping you at all, it's not actually enhancing your performance, That seems a little bit ridiculous.
Cindy, what do you think? Send him back out on the court or keep him on the sidelines until he's utterly clean?
I tend to side with Patrick on this. And I think that if there were a clear-cut answer, you know, everyone from, oh, I don't know, the IOC to the NFL to every other sport would really want it and would be seeking it out. What irks me about it, though, is the reluctance of anyone at the school or the NCAA to talk about it. Hmm. You know, the NCAA defers to the school, and the school doesn't have any comment. And I think there just need to be answers in such a way that does not violate any of the rights of the individual. There's got to be some accountability here somehow.
I'm going to keep my comment very short on this one. It's a story about the NCAA. Logic is absent from the story. I'm sorry, I've been redundant. Patrick, wrap it up for us.
I mean, it's just one of these cases where you're punishing someone who didn't do anything wrong. And to me, that seems wrong. That's far worse than having whatever trace metabolites in your system, whatever drug you didn't intentionally take, and that isn't giving you any sort of performance advantage anyway. But, you know, it does speak to sort of this larger drug war we've talked about on here before. When you try to set up these systems to police these kinds of very complicated things, you often end up with these sort of cases. And it does sort of raise the bigger question of what are we really trying to do here?
All right. It's my turn. And I promise not to talk about the inauguration, but I have to bring up a story that has some political implications. This week, the Supreme Court put off the decision on whether to hear a case concerning whether New Jersey casinos should be allowed to offer betting on sports. The Supreme Court wants to hear an opinion from the U.S. Solicitor General, whoever that might turn out to be, before deciding whether to take the case. And, of course, the man who will appoint the Solicitor General used to have his name on casinos in New Jersey, but they were closed because of bankruptcy, so no conflict of interest there, I guess, at least as far as New Jersey goes. But here's the question that goes beyond the Trump administration. People already bet billions of dollars each year on sports illegally at the corner store or the bar or wherever. Would legalizing sports betting change that behavior? And would it change anything about the games? And if the answer is no, should it simply be legalized? Should there be 50 states in which you can bet on the Super Bowl legally? Patrick?
I mean, when you put it that way, it's kind of hard to not say, yes, we should make this legal. I mean, look, if it's something that's already happening, which it is, and essentially what we're doing by making it illegal is we are not sort of taking our cut as the government could be taking a cut. Maybe we put some of that money to something useful for society. To me, that makes a lot of sense. And the other thing I would say is, look, we already have lotteries like in every state, just about. You know, they're gambling. They actually function as regressive taxes in a lot of ways. They're somewhat objectionable because you're essentially taking money from poor people and transferring it to wealthier people through the government. I think there's actually a better case against the lottery than there is against sports gambling. Mm. And I think if we're going to allow one, you probably should allow the other.
Cindy, what do you think?
Well, I'm troubled by the notion that, you know, if gambling were legalized, somehow this would all go to a greater good for society. I seem to remember that lotteries were justified by, oh, that will help pay for the education system, and that doesn't appear to be the case. The other thing for me is, are the athletes allowed to participate? I can't imagine that that's really going to be allowed by anyone. It would probably make Pete Rose pretty happy, and we could go back and relitigate that whole Pete Rose
issue. I was going to say, if this goes through, Pete Rose goes into the Hall of Fame right away.
Something new to obsess over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. I'm with you on the regressive tax problem. And the issue for me is that if sports gambling were to become legal, more and more people would do it. It's been demonstrated through the lottery that the people who buy lottery tickets are the people who have a dream that they're somehow going to get the money. And so it goes from the poor to the state, and the state doesn't give it back to right. a great extent to the poor. I think that would be compounded. I don't know. I'm not really in favor of seeing more legalized gambling. We got more than enough already, I think.
We've got daily fantasy sports. I mean, so we're already halfway.
And the leagues are involved.
Right. I think the real league opposition to this, and always has been, is because they have never figured out how to get their cut. If they can ever figure out how to take their cut,
right.
especially the NFL,
right.
we'll have sports gambling legal tomorrow.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports and Cindy Boren of The Washington Post. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
As always, thanks.